This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Here, third hour of Radio Law Talk. I'm your host, Frederick Penny. Welcome, those of you who just joining us. This is a radio show about just about everything about the law other than something that you're going to use. So it's just more fun. We talk about general topics of law. We tell you seek local counsel. Don't use us as legal advice unless you're talking to your in-laws at the dinner table. We always say that's important. Call us at 855-LAW-RADIO or 855-529-7234.
Can I give a general legal principle?
Sure.
That is not advice, but it's something that happens in criminal cases, and it's come up. It came up in the case that we talked about at the end of last hour, but I get a lot of people that react negatively when somebody who's charged with a crime pleads not guilty at arraignment. And folks freak out about that. Like, how could they deny that they have done this? The evidence is so overwhelming. Folks, this is why people plead not guilty at arraignment. At arraignment, you have two options. You can either plead guilty or no contest, on the one hand, or not guilty. Now, why would anybody plead guilty or no contest before they have been given the information from the prosecution that is going to be used to prosecute them? Nobody would. No lawyer in their right mind would have somebody plead that. And you don't get that information until after the arraignment. So the only way you can get the evidence is to plead not guilty. It's not necessarily denying. It's like saying, time out. Can I see the evidence that the prosecution has? Then you can work on a deal and resolve it later. People freak out when they plead not guilty at arraignment. It's not a big deal.
Okay.
There, I'm going to get off my soapbox.
I feel better.
Well, you know, since we were talking about Maxwell last hour, and a lot of people were freaking out because she pled not guilty. Of course she did. The attorneys wanted to see what the evidence was, and they can't get it till after arraignment.
So very rarely does a client come up and say, look, Todd, you know what? I did this. I just want to plead guilty. I don't care if they have the evidence or not. I did the crime. Let me go do the time. Does that ever happen?
In a low-level misdemeanor case, absolutely. I used to do misdemeanor arraignments.
Yeah, fishing in a pond.
They come in. I'd have somebody come in. They get popped with petty theft from a local convenience store. They come in, and I say, well, you know, look, we're at arraignment. If the defendant wants to resolve it today, here's the offer. Plead guilty. Take the theft class. We call this deferred entry of judgment. You take the class. Come back in 90 days. We'll dismiss the case. You want to do that? Absolutely, I want to do that. Boom. Done. Out of here. Next. And we don't have to worry about that guy or girl until it comes back. Low-level cases, yeah. I don't think I've ever seen somebody on a felony show up and plead guilty at arraignment.
Never and they shouldn't, because yeah. There could be a deal in the works, too. And
or you, there might be you, some, they might not have the evidence to
yeah,
do
if
that.
You,
that's
exactly.
That's
no,
the big
I
one. I think the attorney is opening themselves up for malpractice if they suggest that, because let's face it, there are a lot of issues that have nothing to do with guilt or innocence necessarily that have to be worked out. Was there a constitutional violation? Was the Fourth Amendment violated when they got a search warrant or when they pulled the suspect over or they went and they procured some of this evidence? All that needs to be looked at.
That's awesome. So. Great insight. Thank
sorry,
you.
Sorry.
That's
I'll
why you listen
soap.
To Radio Law Talk.
Right,
that's why Radio Law Talk.
Down and be quiet.
So we're also going to, this final hour, we're going to talk about Valerie Harper's Emmys. And you're right, Denise, we were talking about the Jeffrey Epstein case before and Ms. Hamilton. You want to bring up the Weinstein, an issue about Weinstein. We're going to do that right after we do the Cal's favorite thing to stump us in case or no case.
Now it's time to play case or no case.
For the record, Your Honor, my favorite thing is just to be here and do the show. But anyway, if case or no case is a part of that. So now I'm going to take you to Oroville, California. British citizen Spike Gibbs and his mates, Peter, and the other guy called Yank because he was an American, worked in Oroville, California. They had a tar bucket like would be used for blacktop repairs, and they had a good product. Hustling older people. Gibbs went to an elderly woman's house and said he noticed her driveway was in need of repair, and it was just the dyke to do it. And as a sheer coincidence, he just finished a job up the road for a neighbor through his employer, Sierra Nevada Paving, and he had some leftover blacktop. And if she'd give him just $500, he and his mates could do the job right now. Well, Lou Ann Coy knew a bargain when she saw one. She said, "You didn't quite." Let's do this. Or did she? He went out there and did the job and came, knocked on the door and said, "I didn't quite have enough material to finish the job left over. So now, if you want me to finish the whole job, it's going to cost you another $1,000. Mrs. Coy was gobsmacked, as they say in Britain, refused the rest of the repair, and sought counsel. And so I ask you, Denise Dirks, is this a case or no case? If it is a case, what is the outcome, if you please?
This could be like a bait and switch, right?
Yeah.
Basically.
Could be several things, yeah.
Okay. And it's out of Oroville, California, so that means there's a specialized law. Yes.
Yes.
You're overthinking it.
California.
No, I'm not overthinking this at all. This is definitely a scenario, but it is not a case.
Okay. That's a good reply. And Mr. Penny, what say you? Is this a case or is it not a case? And if so, what was the outcome?
I'm telling you right now, I had this peg from the beginning. And unfortunately, I have to follow Denise. Every time Denise and I do it together, we decide together, whereas we always lose.
That's
so that
true.
It's like I want to agree with you, but statistically we're going to lose, Denise. So this is a clear scenario.
The numbers don't lie.
And this is like these gypsies that come and do this. This is not unusual. And I think this is a scenario, but it's not a case. I have to agree with Denise, and that's exactly what they do. They, I can't quite finish it. Give me the $500, and then actually my father was bamboozled by someone. When he was getting a little bit, losing his mind and lost quite a bit of money.
They took advantage of him.
They took advantage of him. Actually, they were tied in with a company. And by the way, little did they know, their boys are lawyers. And we went after them. They came back. Oh, we're sorry.
These guys are always tied into a company somehow.
Yeah.
That legitimizes the
offer. They said Sierra, and you don't want to disparage Sierra. I don't know if there's such a thing, but they claim they worked for a legitimate company like that?
Correct.
Okay.
Pretty normal thing. Yep. Mr. Kunin, what say you, my friend?
What was the service to be provided?
Seal off, repair a blacktop driveway at her house with some leftover tar from a similar repair job up the street.
And the original estimate was how much?
$500.
Okay, this is a case, and she wins, and here's why. Because $500 is a unique sum in the state of California. You don't need a contractor's license for anything under the amount of $500. And when they quote $500, they're probably okay with that. However, the minute they came back and said, we'll need another $1,000, now it's a $1,500 job for which they needed a contractor's license. She complained to the Contractor State Licensing Board, and that's how they got nailed, because their greed actually set them up. Case, she wins.
All right.
I don't think it's a court case. I think it's an administrative case, but something was adjudicated.
So you're saying it was not a court case. This is very important. I want to know.
No, it was a court case. Yeah, thinking back to it was a court case because they have to refer those to the local district attorney who then has to prosecute. Yes, it was a court case and she wins. Or the DA wins, she gets stuff back.
Okay. So we got a little diversity of opinion on this. Two scenarios, but no cases in one case, and the elderly woman wins. Elderly woman being a critical element in this case. Just go ahead.
Cal, not to walk over the top of you, but don't forget, remind him of what happens at the end of this hour, Cal. What do we do?
We're going to have quick takes.
Quick takes. That's a very important part.
That's basically what we do at the end of the show. Very similar. Come and bring blacktop and just put her on your driveway. Radio-wise speaking.
All right, Cal. Take us out again.
Never mind. That was it's not going to work. Well, I will be right back with more Radio Law Talk right after this. Stay tuned, please. This is Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com and on the radio. All advertising for legal
services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Jason Rosbach here with Fred Penny, managing attorney from Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Now, Fred, what type of cases are you dealing with now, and what sets you apart?
Jason, we help people with all types of personal injury cases. We're former insurance company trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
That's Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers with locations throughout California. For a free consultation, go to PennyLawyers.com or give them a call, 1-800-616-4-LAW. That's PennyLawyers.com.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. Called the IRS, and they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. That's 800-263-2610.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
That is Irma Dodo.
Time to get back to Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com and on your favorite radio station.
Denise wanted to talk about the Weinstein case, but before we get to the Valerie Harper case, which is very interesting, you wanted to discuss Weinstein and what has happened in the...
Wait a second. We got case
we got
okay.
Case
oh,
case
you're right.
Figure out.
You guys got to start doing that. I do that every single time.
Not every
you
time.
You have to start slapping me in the head and let me finish case or no case.
I can't do that. I'm social distancing.
I want to get a copy of this audio. Fred specifically consented to slap in the
head. How about a whole thing? Because I thought we finished. You're right. I forgot. Next. Go.
Gotta
sorry, Cal.
All right. So the question was this a case or no case? And it involved a person going up to a driveway and saying, you know, I have some material left over from my last job. I can give you a real deal on refinishing your driveway. Then coming up going, oh, I don't have enough material. It's going to cost you twice as much, actually total three times as much as I originally quoted. And the victim was elderly.
When you say elderly, do we know how old?
In her 70s.
Okay, good.
Elder abuse.
So, well, good, because it qualifies. Elder abuse is 65 and over. So.
Now, here's what's interesting about this. There are some of you who said this was a scenario but not a case. And who was that? That was
Fred and Denise.
That was Fred and Denise. And Todd, you said this was a case?
I said it was a case.
Those of you who say it was not a case, let's see. Oh, I'm so sad.
Oh, my God.
It was.
He's smoking us today.
I'm telling you. It was.
You're killing us.
No, this is the first one I've gotten.
Oh, I didn't know.
I got 1 point up to now.
Okay, so.
You tell, Cal.
Well, I'm glad it's working out for you today. Here's the story. The names have been changed to protect the innocent here, by the way. But it is an absolute true case. Mr. Price and his mates, and those were not their real names, when the police went to their hotel room to raid it, they had collected in cash from this scam in the little city of Oroville $100,000.
Wow.
In cash. So the two Brits were charged with a crime and were deported with the promise that they would never show their face in the United States again, and then they would not file any charges. But the charges were held in abeyance for the length of the statute of limitations. So they held the charges, said, if you come back, we're going to climb all over you like ugly. As for Yank, he was charged with fraud, elder abuse, criminal case filed but still pending. And that, ladies and gentlemen, for this hour is our little thing we like to call case.
So Cal, they found the 100,000?
So he gets a 1 point, or because he said case and she wins?
Well, she got her money back. I mean, I guess that's kind of
the point. There's a case. I don't know if she's. If they seized the money, they probably paid her back.
I say it's a win.
I'm going to give it to
Cal, you said that the names have been changed to protect the innocent, right?
Mm-hmm. The paving company's been changed?
So my question is, has the city and gender of the victim also been. Cal, did this happen to you? Was this you? Did you fall for a scam?
No, first off, I don't live in Oroville.
Well, that's why I said, did the city and gender of the victim also get changed?
No, but so. I did do the news story on the air, my station up there. But, yeah, I mean, it was fascinating to me because the biggest reason, and you guys know this better than anybody else, the main reason that these kinds of scams actually work is because somebody somewhere gets greedy and thinks there's a real deal out there. If they'll just listen to this guy, they're going to beat the system. They're going to get something for below market cost, and you know, if he takes it from his previous company, whatever, you know. And that's what happened here.
I want to make sure, Cal. Is the name of the paving company been changed?
Nope.
Okay, so let's. Well, it's not their fault, right?
They had nothing to do with this.
Okay, right? I want to make sure we.
I just looked up in the directory paving companies in Oroville because I did not know the actual in the indictment that I got. I did not get the actual name of the paving company, picked one out of thin air.
Okay, so we want to make sure that they have no liability in this whatsoever. Okay. That's what I want to make sure we change the name.
And tragically, in cases like this, you know, this was charged as elder abuse. And I used to be the elder abuse prosecutor, and when I was a DA in one of the jurisdictions, I was there. These scams not just entrap the elderly, they target the elderly.
Oh, yeah.
And so they target folks that are of a certain age. They learn about folks off their Facebook pages and Instagram and people posting all sorts of stuff. That's why you got to really be careful. It's not just yourself that you put into liability. If you're posting stuff on Instagram and also posting that you have elderly grandparents and you're talking about this great trip to Mexico you're going to take.
Yeah, you don't want to.
Now somebody out there knows that Bill's going to Mexico and he's got 90-year-old grandparents that live there. Bill makes a call. Hey, I got arrested. I need bail. $5,000. Can you Western Union it to me? Great. They Western Union it. And it was never Bill that made the call. Now the $5,000 is gone, because if you don't put a claim to get that back within 24 to 48 hours, it's gone. And they don't know they've been scammed until Bill comes back from the vacation and Grandpa says, hey, glad I could get you out of that jam down there in Mexico. And Bill says, what are you talking about? You know, and elderly just gets targeted.
I'm going to have to warn my wife now to not be a target.
Yes. Not go to Mexico.
Well, people do. You know, honestly, on their social media, they post their vacations after they get back.
Yes.
That's
yeah.
when you post. Yeah, don't post it while you're there.
Good point.
All right, go ahead, Denise. I jumped the gun. About the Weinstein thing, but go ahead and tell us what's going on with this $19 million settlement.
Okay, so Weinstein's company filed a Chapter 11. That's an important backdrop to this. The insurers for Weinstein's company, his brother, and Weinstein himself knew they're going to be on the hook for a lot of money to defend him and or to pay for the damages that happened to alleged victims. So they said, let's have a settlement. And in this settlement, I'm going to cough. Sorry.
Okay. She's going to cough. So in the settlement, hold on. In the settlement, they're talking about $19 million. And what happens is there's these lawyers that are going ahead, and it basically the court, federal court, says, no, this class action lawsuit settlement is not going to happen, and we're not going to allow the $19 million settlement. And there's a reason why, and we're going to tell you later when we come back. When we come back, we'll tell you, and she's going to get back from her cough drop, and then we'll go from there.
All right, stay tuned. Radio Law Talk will continue.
Then Valerie Harper stuff.
No, that's going to be interesting.
That's the best one.
All right, more Radio Law Talk is coming up right here.
Advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Warning, don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build for your business to grow, call General Steel today for a pre-engineered steel building designed for your needs. No wasted space. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building. And you can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. As much as half. But you must call now. If you need a church building, office, warehouse, manufacturing space, retail space, or more, call General Steel today. You can still get the General's 50-year structural warranty and General Steel quality, all at a price you can afford. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great.
800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. That's 800-617-9312.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
In an upcoming Fox News Sunday interview, President Donald Trump showed some support for facial coverings to help stop the spread of coronavirus.
Well, I want people to have a certain freedom, and I don't believe in that, no. And I don't agree with the statement that if everybody wear a mask, everything disappears. Hey, Dr. Fauci said don't wear a mask. Our Surgeon General, terrific guy, said don't wear a mask. everybody was saying, don't wear a mask. All of a sudden, everybody's got to wear a mask. And as you know, masks cause problems, too. With that being said, I'm a believer in masks. I think masks are good.
Breathtaking numbers around the world are a reminder that a return to normal life is still far from sight. Coronavirus confirmed cases worldwide have now topped 14 million and deaths have surpassed 600,000, according to Johns Hopkins University. The World Health Organization reported a single-day record of new infections at over 237,000. This is USA Radio News.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
ExtendoVite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking ExtendoVite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
I like the Amargosa Valley.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
Denise is back. Not so sick. We feel so bad. That's why this is live radio. It's so exciting. Always something happening, but Denise had a coughing fit, and she's the one that really knows a lot about this Weinstein case. So go ahead and continue with the Weinstein case.
Right. So
and then start coughing.
I'm hoping not to. So it's a unique backdrop because the class action suit was brought 2 years ago. That was before Weinstein was found guilty and sentenced to 23 years. That was before other lawsuits had been brought against Weinstein and his company for sex crimes, right?
Was it Miramax, it was called? What was this company called?
There was the Weinstein Company, and then there was Miramax.
Miramax, I think it was Miramax.
So nobody really questioned the idea of whether or not you can have victims of sexual abuse be a class action. Leave it to Harvey Weinstein, you know, to have a class action of victims. So the judge in this case, okay, so the lawyers in the background of this case worked really, really hard to get an agreement in place and try to settle the vast majority of these cases. The questions were risen, is this a safe or is this a fair settlement? And it, right away, there were people, victims that were actually stepping out and saying, no, this isn't fair. The only ones that are going to benefit from this are Weinstein's attorneys, the companies themselves, and the board, because this allowed, this settlement of insurance monies allowed for there to be payments directly to the attorneys involved and the board director's attorneys and the business, you know, itself, the attorneys. So the primary benefactor was going to be Harvey Weinstein and his companies and the board directors and their attorneys. And this payment was going to go through the Chapter 11 case. So the judge that here, his name is Judge Alvin Hellerstein, he said, forget it, we can't have this putative class action, and rejected 17 of the 18 cases. Then he looked at this settlement, and he said, this is obnoxious. And those were his words. Because Harvey Weinstein and his companies and the board directors are going to, and their attorneys are going to benefit before other non-secured creditors. And that was a pretty serious thing. And
yeah.
He said, no way, we're not going to let this settlement go through. And we need to rethink about whether or not this is even a proper class action.
And basically, the judge is saying there's other people that are owed money. And if these people get all this money, there's going to be nothing left for the other creditors in this bankruptcy. Basically.
And other victims. Because there's other victims and not part of this class action.
Got it.
Right?
I got it.
And one thing to remember, when we talk about a class action, one of the key things in a class action lawsuit is that the plaintiffs are all similarly situated. Right? Similarly situated in the sense that they have all suffered a very similar type harm, which I see what the judge is doing here when the judge looks at this proposed settlement and says, how is it that we can say that these 18 people are all similarly situated in terms of the harm that they have suffered when one has only suffered $7,500 worth of harm and another has suffered 100 times that at $750,000 worth of harm? The fact that you're proposing such disparate settlement is undermining your claim that these folks are similarly situated. They're shooting themselves
right
in the foot there.
Right, and they had come up with a point system. Like, if this person was only injured this amount because she wasn't fully molested, well, she's only going to get this amount. So it was a point system that was kind of very strange.
Weird.
So they essentially proposed some sort of victim bingo to the court. That's going to go over well.
Oh, exactly. And here's what the compensation was.
Golly.
Almost $19 million would go to the victims, but over $7 million was going to go right back to the Weinstein and the companies and the attorneys.
Because...
So that's not putting the victims first. That is just absolutely not.
And the other creditors that may have valid claims that may have been other people who had been victimized by the Weinstein.
Correct.
Now look, when you hear about class action lawsuits, the majority of them, when you get that little postcard in the mail saying, you're a member of a class, and you look at it and you're thinking, big bucks, I'm finally going to have my student loans paid off, and you look at it and they say, the proposed settlement is for you to get 3 months of credit protection for free, after which you'll be billed on a monthly basis, and you're like, okay, great, whatever.
And a Hershey chocolate bar.
And a Hershey chocolate bar. The folks that make money on that are the lawyers. The lawyers make the $3 million, but when it's spread out over the class, each individual class member doesn't make a lot. But it's the lawyers that make the money, not the defendant.
But here, they're still, let me joke on the lawyer side, they're working hard.
They're working hard to
get that done.
And it keeps, I mean, you still have a defendant that has to pay the money out, whether it goes to lawyers or they're still out whatever billion they're out. In this case, you're telling me that the third, when we previously talked about goes to the lawyers, this third would have actually gone part of it back to the defendants.
Yeah, it goes back to the defendants and to pay off creditors that they owe money to, including their lawyers.
And they're shocked that the judge would not approve it.
So that would be insurance money they would get back?
Yes.
They would get, you know, that is nice work if you can get it. Right?
That's like
good lawyers trying to manipulate. They said this has been a 2-year settlement. They've been working 2 years on this settlement.
Right, and it was a mediation.
Yeah.
It was a mediated settlement.
Wow, which means there was an independent judge or a retired judge or a lawyer doing this. So there we go. That's it. Let's talk about Valerie Harper. Valerie Harper is, I mean, look, this is my era and Cal. This, you know,
a beloved actress.
The Mary Tyler Moore Show was a very successful sitcom. About a news, basically, it was what it's like to be behind the scenes of a television news team, and that's what it's about. And Rhoda, she began, Rhoda's later, what her new
Mary Tyler Moore's neighbor.
Yeah, but it was okay. Neighbor was Rhoda. She
Mary
became,
Richards, right? Mm-hmm.
But Valerie Harper was really known for like the sidekick of Mary Tyler Moore on this show.
Rhoda Morgenstern was her
name.
And
she got three Emmys for Mary Tyler Moore and one Emmy for the Rhoda Show. Now there's some interesting things that the Academy is trying to claim here, and what I mentioned this to my wife, Todd, before you get started on this. What's interesting, she has a daughter, and I'm not disparaging anything. I'm just wondering, they're putting them up for sale for auction, the four Academy Awards.
Emmys.
The Emmy Awards. What do you not want to keep one of your mom's Emmy Awards to remember? I don't know. That's me. I'm just more of a historian buff.
Well, this is an interesting thing because I know, for example, in the case of the Grammy Awards, if you win a Grammy and you decide you want to sell it, you can't do it.
Okay.
It belongs to the Grammys.
And that's what, go ahead, Todd, yeah. why, what
so
they're trying to argue.
Interesting
what,
about that.
Yeah, well, this is the same argument here, so go ahead.
Yeah, it really
so what's tell, what, tell about the auction.
So here's what's going on. The Golden Globes are the Foreign Press, the Academy of the Foreign Journalists, and then you have the Academy Awards give out the Oscars. Well, the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences gives out the Emmy Award. She won 4. And when they got word that these Emmy Awards were going to be put up and auctioned off to the highest bidder, the Television Academy filed for injunctive relief and was got a temporary restraining order putting the auction on hold, claiming that the Emmy Awards, the individual award itself, has a notice that it cannot be sold or distributed to a third party. Apparently, unless it's given by way of a will.
Wait a minute, they have a notice, you said? Clarify that.
So they have
as of what year?
They have a notice. That's what they're claiming. The problem is that these awards were won by Valerie Harper.
71, 72.
71, 72, before the notice was actually affixed to the award that didn't start until 78. Now, the Television Academy is claiming that that's when we started affixing the notice, but it was generally understood, and our policy, even though the notice wasn't there, that, look, you can't sell these awards. Or probably some lawyer came along in 78 and said, what, you're not affixing a notice? It's generally understood. It doesn't mean anything. It's like a warranty, you know? And so unless you put it there, so that's why they started putting it there in 78, probably.
They've also trademarked the statuettes.
Yes.
So they have a secondary kind of argument that anybody that would buy that statuette, it would be a violation of their trademark.
Okay, and I don't know.
I don't know if that's a good argument.
And here's the reason why I don't think that works. I could trademark that. Sure, Apple has trademarked this computer, but I can still sell it to somebody else. I just can't make another one and call it an Apple computer. But on the other hand, there are actors, at least one that will come forward to say, it was generally understood in the acting community that you could do whatever you want with those awards. So the temporary injunction has been in place. It's not been decided yet. We'll have to follow.
I want to follow up a little bit on this when we come back, because I want to make a few comments about it. But it's very interesting as to why I think the Emmy Awards is going to lose. So we'll be back after this.
And the song where the Grammy case was, Patches by Clarence Carter. You can look it up. But Patches, I'm dependent. That was the song where this became the court case. We figured it out.
Wow.
We'll be back with more Radio Law Talk right after this. Don't go away.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Hi, my name is...
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Now it's time for more Radio Law Talk.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com.
So, Fred Penny's take on the Valerie Harper Emmy Award auction. The courts did do a temporary restraining
order. That's right.
So the auction is going on right now, and so they're not going to be able to auction them off. But, again, it comes down to 1978 is when they... I'm going to say officially put people on notice that the Academy owns these and has the rights to them, and they, other than transporting them or passing them down from family. I guess the question is, define passing them down. Does it have to be a blood relative? Does it have to be, I don't know. But here's the issue. These are 71, 72, and 75. I think the courts eventually, and maybe the lower court might be on the Emmy Awards side, but I think even appellate court's going to overturn it and say, you know, I could see anything under 1978 being sold, and you don't have that right because you didn't preserve it. And their argument is, well, it was just generally known. That's what they're saying.
That's what they're going to say, but the Harper camp has at least one witness that will come forward to say, yeah, we're under the opinion that we could do whatever we want. I just think that, I mean, I look at this, and you look at the amount of money that that Harper's daughter or granddaughter was expecting to get as a result of this auction. And then you figure the amount of money that the Television Academy has probably spent in legal fees to challenge this. It seems to me that it would have made much more sense for the Academy to say, you got four awards there? You think you're going to get $15,000 pop? Okay, here's $60,000 for your cause. Give us the awards. We'll take them back. We'll put them in a nice museum of awards somewhere. They'll be preserved. Everybody can see them. We save money. You get the stuff back. I think ultimately the court's going to come in and say, yeah, maybe they've got a right of first refusal. Everybody wins. You get your money, you get your awards back.
Well, and there is precedent for that because in the Whitney Houston case regarding Grammys.
About 1986.
Doesn't matter. They're Grammys, not Emmys. So what happened in that case is that they got the temporary injunction or temporary restraining order, and then the parties settled it, and they agreed to a permanent injunction, not so that those the Grammys in that case could not be auctioned off. If they do it here, the reason they filed suit here was to similarly act like this. We're going to protect it, we're going to sue people, and they're going to have a settlement. That's what I think. And then it would that what will be the case result? Permanent injunction.
Well, and really quickly, another reason they may have filed the lawsuit here is all we care about is getting the temporary injunction, because if we get a temporary injunction for 30 days and the auction ends before the end of the temporary injunction period,
which it does,
then what difference does it make? We got what we wanted. They're no longer, the auction's no longer being held. You couldn't sell it during the auction. Now it's
They'll hold a second auction. Yeah. That's not a problem. Go ahead, Cal.
Well, I'm just wondering out loud that why the academies could not say, listen, this original statuette is ours. We will give you three duplicates so your families can have a legacy statuette that they can just keep with them when we award the award. If you want to buy them, you can buy a couple of duplicates. We'll make sure very clear on there that it's a duplicate, you know, that it's one that this is a ceremonial statue, not the original one. What's wrong with something like that?
They obviously care about that. They put them up for sale, gal. Oh, here's a ceremonial one. I don't care. That's not a ceremonial one. I'm putting the normal one. I'm just wondering, as a historian of my family, I'm the kind of guy that's like, I'm keeping those statues of my mom,
well, sure.
Oh, yeah. of my grandma or whatever, you know. Or
I think, Cal, you make a good point about what they could do moving forward. The issue here is how do we deal with the way they were doing yet another thing in the entertainment industry where they're trying to figure out how in 2020 to deal with the way things were done 40 years ago.
And the train's already passed them. They're walking forward and the train just went past them and it's in the rearview mirror now. Right.
And I think they're going to have I just think you can't say prior to the 78 that you can't sell those things because they're their possessions. And how long have they been in their possessions? Now, I can't find any, but my understanding is, and I don't quote me on this, I think I remember reading something that there had been Emmy Awards in the past that had been auctioned and
there were.
Sold.
That's what the auction house says.
Yeah, that's their argument. Is this is not the first time, and you didn't do anything about the other ones.
And the auction house, they want their money. They get their little commission off the top.
Well, $15,000 is what they spent in advertising it, and the judge made the Emmy Awards post a $15,000 bond. They cover that if they lose.
Wow.
So, you know, I think this judge is going to rule for the Emmys, but I think if it goes up in appeal, I think they might lose, and I think they're gonna put those out for bid, and Fred Penny's gonna bid on them.
I can hardly wait for this show to start winning them.
I know.
I just think it's interesting that actors are accused of being narcissistic, and they say we're not, and then they have an award called the Emmy, which if you hear it, sounds like you're spelling the word me.
There is no me in Emmy. Wait a minute, there is.
Yeah, there is.
Oh, my gosh. We got a couple more quick things. You guys don't forget you have to do your quick take.
Oh yeah, I got my.
So here, let's talk about a little bit about a troll in the NFL case. So what's happening in the NFL now, especially all the movements going on now to change names and to take down statutes, et cetera, et cetera. We're not going to get into that issue right now because that is kind of controversial, and we're politically neutral here at Radio Law Talk. We can argue both sides, but here's the thing. They finally come down. It sounds like the Redskins are probably going to change the name. Right?
They are.
Well, that proficiency they're going to change. So they're out looking for a name. They have these trolls out there that they troll and start buying up websites, trademarking names. And an interesting thing here, there's an individual that in Washington, for the Washington Redskins is trolling and trademarking things. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's like thinking of different names of that the Redskins can change their name to, and he has gone out and trademarked them. He's basically claiming he's not a troll, because a troll is a person that goes out and trademarks all these different expressions and doesn't plan to use them, but when somebody wants one, he gets paid for that.
Right.
And he makes money. That's how he makes money. But he's claiming, no, look what I've done. I'm doing something different. I'm not a troll because I have actually trademarked these names, and then I have produced merchandise with those names on it, and I'm selling that merchandise. Thus, I'm not a troll. I'm actually utilizing these trademarks. So he's hoping to capitalize on the Washington Redskins choosing some kind of a name that he has a trademark on.
You know, one of the examples of this that I can think of when the .com first started, I remember Dan Marino, former quarterback for the the Buffalo Dolphins, the Miami Dolphins. He wanted to use danmarino.com, but this was a little bit later, and somebody had gone through and registered the domain names for a lot of NFL athletes, and DanMarino.com was taken, and he did not want to pay some guy. The guy, I think, said, pay me $20,000, you can have it. And he didn't want to pay it. And so I don't know that he ever got it, but that's what people do.
And that's why a lot of people say the real, you know,
right.
And
yes.
Put that before their things, because somebody has already trademarked their name, perhaps.
Well, I think you could win that case, because in trademarks, you got to show you're going to use it. You can't just say, I'm buying the trademark. Remember, the law is that you got to trademark it, you got to show you have used it in the past, that name, or you're going to. And I talk to my trademark attorney all the time. Just to say I'm taking it and trademark it, not going to happen.
But
you're going to lose.
You have to have a lawsuit, and it's probably going to cost more than what you would do to pay.
Well,
for
what
it.
I'm trying to say is a lot of times the trademark will the U.S. government will kick it back and say, nope, you're not showing proof that you're using it.
So I was thinking of this name, the Washington Copperheads. Is that a good name for an NFL team?
I think the Snake Lobby might have a problem with that.
I mean, I think any name that has something that is indigenous to the area, they want to use the Washington Redtail. Redtail seems to be the most popular.
What's Redtail?
That was a black flying squadron.
Tuskegee Airmen kind of type stuff.
Yeah. That also means it's time for quick takes. And Denise, if you have your quick take ready, what do you say?
I'm getting on board with this, Cal. When you pass, may I have your Emmys? I want to auction them.
Of course you may. Mr. Kunin, what say you?
Well, I'm going to piggyback on the Emmy thing. I think that if they are ultimately put up for auction, we should buy one as Radio Law Talk and give it to Cal so we never have to hear three-time nominee, never a winner. He'll finally get one.
Thank you. Mr. Penny, what do you say?
My quick take is, let's end this. I'm hungry. I want to go home for lunch. We'll see you later. Talk to you next week. Out of here.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on, so it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.